Baker later bragged in his memoirs that Scott instantly recognized him as a messiah, come to solve his intelligence collection woes. That account appears far-fetched, since Scott had never met this man. What can be verified is that Baker, wearing a new suit, did his best to butter up the old general. He told Scott his father had served under him during the War of 1812, and though he was largely uneducated, Baker was still a fast talker, skilled at ingratiating himself with superiors. He managed to spin enough of a tale about his vigilante experience to convince Scott that he could be a superb espionage agent. Scott likely felt he had nothing to lose in hiring Baker. Signing him up on the spot was not that unusual. Even today, spy agencies accept walk-ins to fill a specific need. And after the Fort Sumter disaster, what Scott and the new administration desperately needed was intelligence on the Davis administration soon moving to Richmond. So Scott offered this stranger a job as a spy. Baker never acknowledged it in his writings, but he may not have expected that he would get this far when he came to Washington and actually land a job with the Army's commanding general. Startled by his success, he hesitated. One account speculated that he wanted to shop around the federal capital to see if he could find a better position than the one Scott offered. Whatever the reason, Baker told the general that before he accepted the job, he had to return to New York to clear up unfinished business. He claimed he left Scott with the understanding that I should report to him as soon as circumstances would permit. The general-in-chief, who was swamped attending to other military matters, seemed content to let Baker drift away with no firm commitment on when or if he actually would show up for work.